How deep the Father's love for us. And Valentine's Day is a day you think about love an awful lot. I have to admit, Susan, I was watching that children's message a while ago, and I thought to myself, now if I were Susan, over the next few days, every time Rich came to me and said, could I have a little of your Valentine's gift, I would put the chocolate behind my back, and I would hold out the broccoli and say, help yourself, brother. You know, there are ways you express love and there are ways you don't express love. I heard a story about a young man who met a girl and he was smitten instantly. He fell in love, and I mean he fell hard. He only had one problem, and that was that she would not give him the time of day. She didn't remember his name. She didn't really know what he looked like. She really wasn't interested in him at all. And he kept asking himself, what can I do that will make this young lady understand I really care about her? How can I get her attention? And he thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to write her a letter. Nobody writes letters anymore. You know what I mean? We get a letter in the mail and it's personal. It's a big deal these days because that's not the way folks communicate anymore. So he wrote her a letter. Just let her know, I care about you. I would love to get to know you better. No response. So he wrote another letter and then another letter. And before long, he found himself writing a letter every day, trying to get her attention. You wouldn't think that kind of thing would work, would you? I mean, you really think that is that's so hokey and old-fashioned. That's not going to work. That will never make a girl fall in love. But you know it did. And she married the mailman. Love. We all want to be loved. We want to love and be loved by others, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that we have a holiday like Valentine's Day? It doesn't celebrate a historic event. It doesn't celebrate a particular individual. It celebrates an emotion. It celebrates love. And evidently, that's something that matters a lot to us in America. Otherwise, how could you explain the fact that this year, for this particular day, Americans spent $1.7 billion on Valentine's Day gifts for their pets? And then another $22 billion on one another. That's a lot of gifts, a lot of flowers, a lot of chocolate, a lot of special dinners out. But you know, we believe that love is worth it. And that's why we try to find that special way to express our love for one another. The other day I was out looking for Judith's Valentine's card. And I found one that I really liked for her. But along the way, I also found some others. And I thought I would share some of them with you. The first one I found was this one, and it has some cheese on it. My cheddar half. We're so Gouda together. Brie mine forever. And then inside it says, just a cheesy card to say how much I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. That's good, isn't it? And then I found another, and I like these kind because these are the ones you just have to keep looking. Knock, knock. Who's there? Stopwatch. Stopwatch who? Stop what you're doing and have a happy Valentine's Day. And I like that one. But ladies, this is my very favorite one. Romance novels. I'll clean the bathroom. Vacuuming without being asked. Go have fun while I watch the kids. The laundry folder. I'm listening. You're right. And then inside it says, Happy Valentine's Day. May all your fantasies come true. But you know, on the other hand, and I'll tell you what, I was telling somebody this morning, till I picked all of these up the other day, I didn't know how much these things cost. I think one of these was $5. $5. No wonder we're spending billions of dollars. But you know, on the other hand, you don't have to spend a lot of money to express your love. I was thinking about a couple I knew in the first church that I pastored. On their first anniversary, he bought her a card and he gave it to her. It was really all they could afford that year. And so that card was really special and it was really sacrificial. The next year, he was still in medical school and they still didn't have any money. So she pulled that card out from last year and signed it and gave it back to him. That card went back and forth between them for the next 50 years. Every year, last year's recipient became this year's giver, and it became a major thing. Their kids knew about it. Their friends knew about it. Everybody knew how Papa and Sugar would share that card with one another. You know, nothing changes your life more than knowing you are absolutely, fully, completely loved. To realize there's somebody out there who is completely committed to you, somebody who believes in you, who looks after you, who's never going to give up on you. And when you know you are loved, it changes who you are. You face the world with more confidence. You believe your life has real value. Most of all, when there's somebody who loves you a lot, you want to make sure that you do things to prove to them you are worthy of the kind of love that they're giving to you. So here's my question for you this morning. So what if the person that loves you most in the world is the Lord? Because this is what the Bible says. It says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Don't you love that description? And God is love. How do you define love? You define it by the nature of God himself. Not by what's said on a little card or what's expressed by those of us who are finite people, but a God who says, I love you. When you think of the Lord, remember his love for you. It's one of the unique things about being a biblical believer in Jesus. You trust his love. What can separate us from the love of God? God's love is the thing that makes Christianity different in this world. Most religions focus on what you have to do to earn God's approval, to deflect God's wrath, to avoid God's punishment. But as Christians, we trust in what God has done for us and how he loves us, that we care for his own. Spiritual skeptics usually think of themselves as rejecting a God who is judgmental and vindictive and angry. And they need an encounter with Jesus, the one who opened his arms and said, let the little children come to me, who displayed God's compassion, God's forgiveness, God's grace, and God's love everywhere he went and with everything he said. We need to recognize how much he loves us. And the love of Christ also reminds us that real love is more than just emotion. You know, sometimes we can think we're in love, and really the truth is it's just a passing thought. Feelings are important, but there's so much more to love than just the feeling. Otherwise, the truth is all of us would say to one another, I love you, I'm committed to you, I'm there for you, till it just doesn't feel good today, and then I'm going to move on and do something else. Love is about a lasting commitment that never turns aside. Listen to what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, let me tell you something. If you ever ask someone, do you know whether your husband or your wife loves you? Do you know whether the person that you're committed to loves you? Do you know whether God loves you? You go to that description and ask yourself, is this what I'm experiencing? Because this is God's plan for our relationship with Him and our relationships with one another. That we love one another and that that love reveals itself in powerful, tangible ways. Because here's the truth. Real love is not me-centered. It is other-centered. The truth is, we're too often tempted to be me-centered kind of people. The honest truth is, if I'm doing what I want to, Rich, I will not give my wife a box of chocolates. I'll give my wife a box of chocolates, but they've all had the end bitten off of them. Because I'm a little more me-centered than I'd like to be. If you want to experience real love, you have to focus on giving more than receiving. Sometimes I hear popular voices saying that loving one person for a whole lifetime is just not natural. You can't love anybody that long. And all I can say from 36 years of marriage is that my experience of love grows deeper and not more shallow. And it's not because of me, it's because of the one who loves me. So we celebrate Valentine's Day and we tell one another how much we love each other. But we also need to hear God's incredible promise. God says, I will love you. And I want to take a few minutes and explore what God is saying to you this morning. As on Valentine's Day, we remember the incredible love of God. First thing he says is this. He says, I will love you and take the initiative. It's important to go first. And this is what the Bible says. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I think that is one of the most phenomenal expressions of scripture that you can find. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. He loved us when we were not lovable. He loved us when we were downright disgraceful. He loved us when there was nothing about us that deserved being loved. God loved you first. He didn't wait until you loved him or proved that you deserved to be loved. He simply chose to love you. I find that incredible, don't you? And this is love. That God looked at me with all of the warts, with all of the failure, with all of the mud, with all of the times that I had embarrassed him, disobeyed him, disgraced him. He looked at me and he said, I love you. Not because you deserve it. I just love you. I was thinking about that the other day and remembering when I was a little boy. When I was a little boy, my friends and I would be outside. We would play hard all day. Sometimes we were in the woods. Sometimes we were out playing football. Sometimes we were crawling in the dirt. And eventually the time would come at the end of the day when it's time to come home and go to supper. And my mother would always meet us at the door. And you know what she would say to us? You're not coming into my house until, guess what? Till I hose you off. And we'd have to stand outside the door, and she would take the water hose and she would spray all of the dirt and all of the mud and all of the mess out of us. And then, and only then, were we allowed to come into the house. That's the way the Lord ought to operate, isn't it? He ought to operate by saying to us, look, no room for you in my kingdom until you clean yourself up. No room for you until you straighten yourself out. No room for you until you deal with your sin. No room for you until you make sure that you are worthy to come into my presence. And when you've proved all of those things, then there's a place for you. But that is not what the Lord says at all. He says, I love you while you're still a sinner. Jesus is the one who said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was revealed most clearly on the cross when the Bible says God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And his love will find its fullest expression when he comes again to claim his own. When it comes to love, the Lord always takes the initiative. We don't tend to be that way. We start out in elementary school and we say to someone, I will like you if what? You like me. You let me know first, and then I'll let you know. We don't grow up much beyond that as the years go by. But the Lord takes the initiative. He wants you to know he loves you. He loved you before you were born. His love covers each and every day of your life. And even if you reject him to the very end of your life, he's going to continue to reach out to you and offer his love and grace. Jesus Christ, who does not need anything you could give him, has chosen to love you. And when you experience his love personally, it changes everything. Why are you the kind of believer that you are? Because the day came in my life when I understood what it meant that he loved me. He died for me. He's there for me. I can trust him. God says, I will love you, and I'll take the initiative. But he's not done. He also says this, and I will love you with an enduring love. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. I love that term, don't you? Steadfast. Steadfast. Not going anywhere, not changing, not letting you down. Eternal, steadfast, from beginning to end. God's love is the one enduring thing you can depend upon. God's love for you is steadfast. He loved you before you were born. He loved you on the day he saved you. He loves you today, and he's going to love you into eternity. His steadfast love will always be there for you. Other loves are not always exactly that way. I'll never forget when I was a freshman at Samford years ago, and I was still dating my high school girlfriend, and I sat down at the cafeteria with a few guys that were a little older than me, and one of them said to one of the others, so are you still dating so-and-so? And he said, oh, no, that was just one of those freshman things. Boy, that offended me. I thought, I have found somebody I'm going to love into eternity, and you're talking that way. But guess what happened by Christmas of my freshman year? Well, I was at my college, and she was at her college, and we decided we didn't love each other all that much. And we moved on until I found the one that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. Not every time somebody says, I love you, does it mean I'm going to love you for the rest of your life. Aren't you glad that God doesn't love us with a freshman kind of love? He's committed to us through it all, even when we may not deserve it. prophet Jeremiah lived in the midst of a people who had rebelled against the Lord. They were on their way to 70 years of exile because of their sinful ways. The honest truth is, God should have given Jeremiah a message, and that message should have been, I'm through with you people. You have failed me too often. You have disappointed me too much. I'm going to move on to somebody else. I'm done with you. Instead, this is what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. He said, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you, and again I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. What's God saying? I won't give up on you. The greatest thing about his steadfast love is that it never stops. When we fall, he loves us too much to leave us in that condition. He will do whatever is necessary to make us whole. That means God's love may hurt sometimes, but it is a healing, restoring pain. God never says to you, because I love you, I'm going to make sure that there are no consequences to your sin. God never says to us, I love you, and because of that, you're never going to suffer disappointment. There's never going to be times when life is unfair. There are never going to be times when you have to struggle. Instead, what God says is, in the midst of all of those things, my love will be the one constant that you can depend on. God never said through Jeremiah, my people, you've disappointed me, you've rejected me, you've turned your backs on me, you're not obeying me, and because of that, I'm just going to let it all go because I love you too much. Instead, he said, you've earned consequences, and those consequences are coming. But after you have suffered, and that suffering has begun to turn your heart back to me and purify your lives, then you're going to find out, I'm still there. I never left. I've just been waiting for you to turn back. Psalm 35 says, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Here's what the Bible says about God's love. Sin without consequence is not love. Love will always step in to bring you back from destruction. Sin without consequence is not love. If I see you getting ready to hurt yourself and I do nothing, I don't love you. If I see you involved in sin that leads to pain and destruction, and I don't do anything about it, I don't love you. Sin without consequences is not love. Love is when God steps in and pulls you back from the brink and restores you to himself. Then he says this, and he says, I will love you with an unbreakable love. Of all the passages about God's love, this may be the one that speaks more clearly to me. We read it together a few moments ago. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In other words, all of us are going to experience life's challenges and difficulties. We will know what it means to experience heartbreak and real loss. There will be times when you'll pay a price of rejection or worse if you identify clearly with Jesus. But you will never be alone. You will be more than a conqueror through Christ, who loved you and loves you, who will always love you. And that's why Paul ends Romans 8 with a cry of triumph. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is he saying? And nothing, nothing can stop the love of God. Nothing can take away the power of his love for you, because nothing, nothing can stand in the presence of the power of the cross. The cross has become the symbol of a Christian faith. Strange, isn't it? That an instrument of death and execution could become a symbol of faith. Except that it is here that God's love is most clear. You look at the cross, you see a Savior who says, I love you. I loved you when you were born. I loved you when you were lost. I loved you when you trusted me. And I will love you all the way to the Father's kingdom. Never doubt how much he cares for you. So today we celebrate Valentine's Day, and that's a day when we remember how we feel about one another. But on this day, it's so good for us to recognize, and the love that we have for even those most precious in us, to us, cannot compare with the love that a Savior who gave himself has for you. Have you experienced his love in a personal way? Has there ever been that time when you've turned to Jesus and said, Lord, I know that I fall short. I know I'm not worthy. I know that you love me not because of who I am, but in spite of who I am. And today, I want to trust you as my Savior. If that's you today, in a moment when we stand and sing our invitation, if you'll just slip your hand up and say, you know, I'd really like to come to know Jesus. I'll be looking. Our staff will be looking. We'll find you and help you come to know Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're recognizing, you know, the truth is, I've been pushing back against God's love, and I've allowed some stuff in my life that just needs to go away. And the only way it's going to go is if I let him love me the way I need to be loved. Maybe you need to become part of a loving church family, and today you'd say, I want to join First Baptist. I want to be part of what God's doing here. Maybe there's another decision. If there is, as we stand and sing, you just let us know. Let's stand together. Let's sing.